Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 9, verse 37 to 48. The Bible says, "The next day when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him," met Jesus. A man in the crowd called out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he's my only child." A spirit seizes him and he suddenly screams and it throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him and is destroying him. "I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not." O unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Jesus answers this request. O unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here. And even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground into a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. Can I get a witness that God can be great? Amen? Amen. It says, while everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did, he says to his disciples, "Listen carefully. Pay attention. Listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be, betrayed into the hands of men." And they didn't understand what he meant. It was hidden from them so that they did not grasp it, and they were afraid to ask him about it. An argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and had him standing beside them. And then he said to them, "Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For he is the least among you all. He is the greatest." Amen. As wonderful as children are, yes, we have a room especially for them. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning. Man, we got challenges all over the place today, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would bind every distraction. Lord, I pray that you would meet us here, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you empower us, Lord, that we would find your victory. Lord, we got tough stuff looking at us right in the face. And we need kingdom power to find that victory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Is Yaseli back up here yet? I mean, Yazzie back. Yeah, yes, she is. Come on over here, girl. Yazzie was up Friday night bowling, and she was the newly crowned youth champion right there. A little round of applause for Miss Yazzie. Thank you, ma'am. That's all the truth. Yes. Hey, we had the biggest crowd that I can remember bowling on Friday night. I think we had 17 or 18. Actually, and then we had more show up. She says she's a champion. Well, yeah. I'll tell you what. She's probably the Spanish speaking women's champion over 50. That's what she is. Now, it started out. Aaron showed up, and Aaron's throwing a 16 pound ball about 1,000 miles an hour, bashing the back of the pins, crushing them. And he just took off, and he dominated the first game. No one was even close to him. And I couldn't do anything in that first game. And so I said, I'm changing balls. I found me a 16-pound ball, and I'm kind of going and kind of, I get this open frame. So it comes halfway through. I said, oh man, there's no way I'm gonna catch you. And I'm looking. Wait a minute. Halfway, five pins. I had 74. I said, man, I could do that. And so I start going. And it gets to the ninth frame. And I need, or actually the, in the ninth, I got the 10th frame to roll. And I need 15 pins to beat Aaron, which means I have to get a strike or a spare. Okay? And so I roll the first ball, and I get 9. I got one pin between me and victory. And I'm just looking at that thing. It's right in the corner. And I'm just dialed in, and Aaron's dialed in. He's looking at me, looking at the score sheet. Oh, man, oh, man. And I dialed it, and I'll tell you what. I rolled that ball, and it knocked that pin dead center. Victory, looking at me right in the face. See, I'm the adult champion. Now, I'm not saying that. This is actually going to lead into my sermon. See, victory was staring at me right in the face. Now, I had to step into that, okay? I had to hit that last pin. Nobody's going to knock that last pin down. No, and Aaron wasn't going to let anybody knock that last pin down. It was a challenge that was in front of me that I was going to either overcome or I was not going to overcome. And so many of us in our lives are faced with challenges. We are faced with, can I get a witness on that? Anybody got a challenge here today? And you have got a challenge in your life, and you are either going to overcome it, or you're going to sidestep it, or you're going to sit down, and you're just going to let it sit there, and you're not going to do anything about it. Now, this is what Jesus walks down into, okay? He is coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember, we talked about it 2 weeks ago. Last week, we had Teen Challenge. And he goes to the mountaintop, and he meets with Moses and Elijah, and he is encouraged. Why? Because he has a massive challenge that awaits him, the challenge of the cross. And he meets with Moses, and he meets with Elijah, and he takes his inner circle. He takes his most trusted three disciples, James, John, and Peter, and they fall asleep. I mean, it was at night. I guess you're supposed to sleep. But I'm thinking, hey, it's a big deal. Let's stay up. Let's pray with the Lord. Peter wakes up and starts taking charge. Peter wakes up and doesn't know what he's saying and is rebuked by God from heaven. And he's coming down with this failure from his inner circle, and he comes to another challenge. Here comes this guy running up. He says, oh, can you help me out here? And he sees the rest of his disciples unable to overcome a challenge that they had been equipped to overcome. And he's so disappointed. His response, unbelieving and perverse generation. How long will I put up with you? Why did he say it? I mean, such a scathing word to his disciples. See, I think he was expecting more. I think he didn't expect to come down to turmoil. I think he expected to come down to some victory. Can I get a witness on that? See, some of us are surrounded by turmoil, and we live in turmoil, and the Lord is saying, how long are you going to put up with that? I have equipped you to step into victory. And so many of us want it delivered. We don't want to have to work for it. We don't want to have to step into it. Jesus says, you want victory in your life. I'm empowering you to find it, but you are going to have to pursue it. We are surrounded by the challenges that we are surrounded by so that we can tie into the power of God and experience victory in our lives. God wants you to learn how to win. Doesn't do our kids any good to have everybody in Little League or everybody in the football field or everybody in the soccer league all get trophies, because then they feel like they can win when they lose, that it's no different. And the Lord says, wait a minute, I want you to have victory. For you to have victory, you're going to have to whoop on the devil. You're going to have to whoop on the situations that you're in, and I'll empower you to do it. Can I get a witness on that? Is that not what Aaron was talking about? Quit worrying, man. I have got your back. Step into that victory. You know, he's worried about his dad 7 to 14 more days. You know what? I'll tell you what, man. Bible says that we got eternity that we're looking at. And you know what? Your dad's going to be with your mama. And I'll tell you what, mama is happy. Now, ain't going to have no marriage up there, all that kind of stuff. But I tell you what, mama's waiting on Meso to show up. And she's saying, you guys had him long enough. And then they'll be waiting on you to show up. Amen? See, we have got to live in victory. We have got to quit living in turmoil and defeat and loss. Can I get a witness on that? How long are you going to put up with it? Jesus says, how long are you going to put up with this stuff? Title of today's message is Pursuing Greatness. You want to pay attention today?
Yes.
Amen. 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 All right. Number one, man in the crowd calls out, teacher, I beg you, look at my son. He's my only child. The spirit seizes him. He suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him and is destroying him. This boy's got a problem. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Folks, can I get a witness on this? This boy has got a problem. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, I mean, the spirit never leaves him alone. This is a chronic situation. This is a life-controlling situation this guy's dealing with. I think some parents out there can deal with that. We got issues that go on in our lives. ADD, ADHD. We got challenges that surround us. Amen? They don't go away. I mean, we got asthma stuff. We got allergies, these allergies to bee stings. Oh, no, no. We got allergies to peanut butter. Oh, no. Did you give me anything with peanuts? You know, it's going to cause them to blow up and die. And we're surrounded by these life-challenging situations that are chronic, that never go away. We have all kinds of things that can dominate our lives. I got three things. Boys, take me down a little bit in there, Jared. Pay attention to what I got going on. You got physical issues. Right there. Physical issue. Larry, right here. Physical issue. Thomas, Timothy, right there. Physical issue. Oh, Thomas, you got constant pain. Amen?
Amen.
Physical issue. Chronic stuff. Sharon, in the back. Chronic pain all the time, right? Fibromyalgia, right? You know, I'll tell you what. We got all this stuff that goes on around. I'll throw in this physical thing, physiological stuff, mental illness. I mean, there's some stuff, got bipolar, got manic, got all kinds of this stuff. I mean, so many things that I can, you know, depression. Amen? I mean, it's like, oh, yeah. And people are just weighted down. It is chronic. It is life-challenging situations physically. We have social issues. We can be harmed as children. We grow up in such incredibly painful or dysfunctional situations. Or maybe not so incredibly painful. Maybe they're just dysfunctional, and that dysfunction imprints itself on our lives. And we're warped. And I mean, how many adults do you have that are just so warped? And they've been warped their whole lives. You know, I mean, they can't carry on a conversation. They can't, you know, they don't know how to say thank you. They don't know how to say please. They walk around grumpy. Nobody wants to be around them. All that kind of stuff. You know what I'm talking about? It's like being socially handicapped. I mean, if there was a wheelchair for social handicaps, there's some people that would be rolling around in it because they just can't deal socially. Now, I throw this on the side, okay? This is just a little no extra charge thing. There are some social challenges that we have in our relationships. Sometimes the people that I'm talking about, the socially handicapped people, those are the folks that are just out there. You know, see, sometimes they're homeless, sometimes they're not, sometimes, you know, and they just got challenges they got to overgrow. Sometimes we're in social, are you guys following me on this? I mean, in addition to that, sometimes we're in social situations in our marriages, our friendships, whatever, and they're just chronically painful. And the Lord would have you overcome that as well. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And then, in addition to social, we've got spiritual, which is what we're talking about today. And it brings it home so clearly. So we have physical challenges, social challenges, and spiritual challenges. And sometimes how we respond to these challenges actually makes them worse. We got these folks in chronic pain, and I tell you what, some of them are on some radically powerful pain meds. And you know what? After you've been on them pain meds for a long enough time, the pain meds can start to be a problem. Can I get a witness on that? Sometimes you can't walk, and so you get that chair so you can scoot around and you can get around. And the problem with getting into that chair is you stop using your legs. And sometimes you get in that chair, and you'll never get out. We got physical issues, social issues. We got ADD, HD, you know, give them meds, Medicaid, all that kind of stuff. We can make people with depression. I'll tell you what, I was dealing with a guy that was on some kind of medication. Pax. Anyway, there was 4 pages of side effects on the withdrawal. You know, and what does our culture do with handicap? Well, we change the name. We're not going to call you handicapped. We're going to call you physically challenged. We're gonna put sidewalks that have slopes. And what we're going to do is we're going to make it easy to be handicapped. And the Lord is saying, what are you doing? I don't want to make it easy for you to live handicapped. I want to deliver you from your handicap. And if you would quit putting a Band-Aid on it and trying to make it easy and putting different names on it and said, seek out the kingdom power and the kingdom of God and say, Lord, I need deliverance from my physical situation. Bible says what? By His stripes we are healed. Lord, I need to learn how to love and forgive the people that I'm in relationship with so that I can get over this chronic situation. And sometimes you got that person who is just socially handicapped. You got to speak some truth into their life and say, you know what? You know, your problem is not your SSI check. Your problem is that you got relationship with no one. And the kingdom of God is available for even you. And you got to work. I'll tell you what. Thomas used to be sitting right over here in the wheelchair zone. And you got some physical therapy. You go to physical therapy how many times a week? 3 times a week. He's working to stay out of that chair. He gets injections in his knees, all that kind of stuff. Balthazar was bowling the other night, man. Hey, how many... After a while, your arm started giving out, right? I'll tell you what. Keep on working that thing. It goes longer and longer and longer. Victory is available to us. Amen. How? If you pursue it. Amen. Jesus says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Amen. This boy's got a problem. Jesus says, you're living in defeat. Got enough defeat. I have come that you might have victory. That I've come that you might have power. I have come that you might overcome. I don't know what your challenge is today. Everyone in here has got the biggest challenge that is facing them. Amen? You know, I don't care if it's physical, social, spiritual, mental, what. And you know what? The Lord doesn't either. Because I tell you what, you overcome that, you find victory in that, there'll be another one. And the main thing is that you start moving from victory to victory to victory. And he comes down the mountain, and the guy says, hey, can you save my son? And Jesus going, oh, guys, I gave you power over this. Amen. What is up? I'm going on the mountain. He says, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to be away for a while. You guys have got to run this thing. Amen. How long am I going to put up with you? You know, and here's the guy. You know, think of Marco or that little Leilani, right? No, Marco's either, because he can run. And you got Marco. You guys know Marco? Cute little kid, looks like Buzz Lightyear, you know? And here he comes, right? And you see Yaceli, or you see Balthazar walking up with him, and he says, this is my grandson, Marco. A spirit seizes him and throws him down, and he clenches his teeth and tries to throw him in the fire, tries to throw him in the water. Lord, can you save him? And we expect you to say, yes, my child, you know, or yes, my child, you know, loving, embracing. And the response is, oh, unbelieving and perverse generation. That's a surprise to me. Why would Jesus bring such a rebuke? And it's because, man, they should have been healed 2 days ago. I put it up on the mountain. Jesus coming down. From the Mount of Transfiguration, he's got the failure of Peter and James and John up there. Comes down to the failure of his other disciples. And he says, how long are you guys going to live in defeat? I've not called you to live in defeat. It is never intended for you to be overcome by the challenges that are currently besetting you. It is not intended for you to be looking at the same challenge today that you did 6 months ago, 6 years ago, 6 weeks ago, even 6 days ago. Victory. It is available in the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. They were equipped for victory, but they chose to live in defeat. Last week, I told you about my shoulder. Oh, it hurts. I went and I talked to my brother, who's a physical therapist, on Thanksgiving, and he fixed it. I went, oh, you're magic. And he says, oh, it's good, huh? He says, yeah, don't worry. It'll tighten up again. It'll hurt tomorrow. I'm like, what's up with that? You know, I wanted it to be fixed. He says, I'll send you a program. What's that? I had to call him my money. Where's that program? He sent me this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pages of exercises that I'm supposed to be doing for my rotator cuff. And I've got this front rotator cuff muscle and the back rotator cuff muscle and the middle one. And I got to be exercising all this stuff. You know what? I just want him to fix me. You know what I mean? Hey, why don't you just rub on this thing and fix me? I don't want to do any work for it. You know? He says, hey, you want to find the victory in your life? Here it is. Work the program. You're going to find victory. Are you following me? Yeah. Jesus says, hey, you want victory in your life? Right here. Amen. I got the victory spelled out right for you in the Word, just like Aaron said. But so often, we don't want to pursue victory. We just want to have it delivered. And that's not how God's plan works. Let's talk about God's plan. Because Jesus, we'll get to that in a second. Jesus changes things up. All right, he does drive out the demon. Bible says, even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground into a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. Now, you know what, folks? This does not appear to be much of a challenge for our Lord. Amen? I don't think Jesus, you know, had to work up a sweat. Oh, no, it's a demon. I don't even think he was worried about it. Get out of there. Get out of there. You know what I'm saying? Get out of there. And then it says he healed the boy. Get rid of the demon, healed the boy, and gave him back to his dad. See, God does change things up. How does he do that? Jesus had power. Jesus had power to transform situations. What kind of power? Kingdom power. Back in chapter 4 of Luke. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. I always like that part. Amen? I got a lack of richness in my life. But that's okay, because I got the Lord. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He's sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind. Can I get a witness on that, Lair? Amen. And to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He says, I got power. I've got authority in the spiritual realm, over the physical realm, over the social realm. You want to get your life transformed? I'll give you that authority too. Come follow me and you'll be transformed by the Spirit of God. And you can have that power. Amen. But you got to step into it. It's not just going to be delivered to you. It's going to be delivered through you. Amen? Verse 43, we'll get to that in a moment, says that the people marveled. They marveled at the greatness of God. They marveled that the power of God was released, kingdom power was released in the situation. And it is an incredible thing. You see Thomas, you see Balthazar, see the manifestation of the Lord in this place, and I celebrate it. Many of you transformed. Amen? Many of you are transformed in your lives, and I see it, and I go, man, this is just an incredible place to be. And it is wonderful to see God at work. Amen? Amen. Now, don't get me wrong here. I don't think it's supposed to be. Why do we marvel? We marvel because kingdom power is revealed so rarely. But I don't think it's supposed to be rare. I think it's something we're supposed to be seeing every day. God wants to use you every day in a mighty way. And when he does, once a year, once every 5 years, we go, woo! And the Lord is saying, I've been waiting 5 years to do that. I'll do it for you every day. How do we know that? The Bible says, John chapter 14, verse 12, I tell you the truth. Do you believe the Bible?
Yes.
Put your hand up if you believe the Bible. Bible says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Who's talking here? Jesus is talking here. He says, if you have faith in me, you'll do what I've been doing. How many of you guys are doing what Jesus has been doing? Amen. In fact, he says, you will do even greater things. Jesus raised the dead. Jesus healed the sick. Jesus cast out demons. And he says, you got faith in me, you'll do the same thing. You'll do even more. Why? I'm going to the Father. You ask anything in my name, I'll do it. See, we see the kingdom power of God released among us. We go, wow! How many of you guys go, wow, when your wife cooks dinner? Your wives ain't cooking dinner enough. You know what? My wife cooks dinner all the time. I go, good. Yeah, that looks good. I'm expecting dinner, right? Why? Because she does it all the time. Now, when I cooked, my kids go, wow, Dad, you're cooking, wow. Somebody go, wow, you're cooking, aren't you? You know what I'm saying? I'm saying we should, I think God desires to release his power through us frequently. Amen. He's got no, I mean, it's like the demon, get out of there. Get out of here. Get out of here, kid, you bother me. Get out of here, demon, you bother me. No big deal to Jesus. Healed the kid. There you go. Get back to his dad. There you go. He says, you can do that. You can do that. That power is available to you. We shouldn't marvel. We should expect it. We should dwell in it. We should live in it. We've got a pipeline to kingdom resources, but we're not using it because we don't know how. B. God's program is different than expected. All this celebration. Woohoo! God is good. He healed the kid. Demons cast out. I wonder who's got him now. That's the thing. See, he cast out demons, go to somebody else. Demons in the neighborhood. Anybody want to doubt demons in our neighborhood? They're moving and they are shaking. And you know what? You got the power to kick them right out of your house. Are you doing it? Are you doing it? Are you working on it? He's like, oh, I've been attacked by a demon. Kick them out of your house. Victory is right there. Whoop them. Kick them right out. They're all amazed at the greatness of God. While everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did, Jesus says, hey. He turns to his disciples and said, guys, pay attention to this. He says, listen carefully what I'm about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. Say, what? We're having a little party, Jesus. We're having a celebration of your power and your might and your goodness. Say, wait a minute. My program is different than what you expect. My program is different than even what you desire. He says, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They did not understand what it meant. It was hidden from them so that they did not grasp it, and they were afraid to ask him about it. This is chapter 9, verse 43, back in 22. And he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elder, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed. And on the third day be raised to life. And they're going, what are you talking about? We want you to be with us forever and handle our challenges. And Jesus says, I'm heading in a different direction. I want to empower you to overcome your challenges in my name. Now, is that different? See, I think we come up here and we go, oh, Lord, handle all my challenges. Oh, Lord, I lay all my challenges down before you. Can you pick them up and handle them for me? You ever heard anybody pray like that? Sometimes maybe you pray like that. Lord, handle my challenges. Instead of, Lord, give me the power, the wisdom, and the insight to overcome this challenge and the next challenge and the next challenge, because I want to be more than a conqueror in your name, amen? I want to be more than victorious in your name. I just want to live in victory, from victory to victory to victory. And you're going to find victory when you fight. You're going to find victory when you step into that challenge. Amen? Amen. Amen. He talks about how we are to pursue it. He says, if anyone would come after me, you want to follow the Lord? Amen. How many of you want to follow the Lord? Amen. He says, pick up my cross daily. Oh, How many of you picked up your cross this week? That's good. How many of you picked it up every day this week? How many of you could pick up your cross a little bit more this week? How many of you didn't have that focus? How many of you didn't find that victory? How many of you could have excelled? See, the cross is the picture. I'm going to have Aaron come on up here and Eliseo come on up here. We're going to have communion. Are you good? Are we okay? Turn this heater off. Anybody else hot? Is anybody else freezing?
No.
Sorry, Teresa, you're the only one. Okay. Heading in the wrong direction. Heading in the wrong direction. It is difficult. All right. Luke 9:46. There's a little commotion going on. Bible says, an argument. This is an argument among the disciples, right? They're walking with Jesus. An argument started among the disciples as to which one of them would be the greatest. Oh. Bible says, the desire for greatness. I'll tell you what, they got all this stuff going on. They got the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. They got headed for the cross, picking up the cross daily, and yet still they're heading in the wrong direction. They're having an argument, and it is so easy to get off track. Can I get a witness on that? You can relate. You know, they're coming down the Mount of Transfiguration, and they see the other disciples. They see the demon, and Jesus, they can't cast the demon out. Jesus rebukes them, and you can just see Peter. Oh, nah, losers. Couldn't even deal with a demon, huh? Now, I've cast out lots of demons. You know, I don't think Peter probably brought up the fact that he got rebuked by God up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Probably kept that to himself. Why? Doesn't help his argument for greatness. And we have an argument. I'm better than you. I'm better than you are. Right? You know what I'm talking about? And what we do is we start citing the things that Jesus is going to like about us, that we do, the things that we do that are beneficial, and we leave off the stuff that we do that Jesus isn't going to like so much. What we try to do is we try to redefine greatness so that it fits us. And that's the argument that they were having. Now, the argument that they should have had, the discussion that they should have had, was what is totally messed up in my life and is keeping me from being great in the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen? Now, they finally got it. We got the Bible that is their letters and their writings that show us how they overcame the issues in their lives so that they could truly be great in the kingdom of God. Amen? So we are taking a look at young disciples. We're talking about disciples that have not yet been transformed. Maybe today you need to ask yourself, what has messed up in my life? What is keeping me from becoming great in the kingdom of God? And how can I overcome it? Because our discussion should focus on being great in the kingdom of God today. Amen? Amen? All right, we're almost done. Jesus shows the path to greatness. And some of you are not going to like this. Some of you are not going to like this at all. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child, had him stand beside him, and then he said to them, whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me, for he was the least among you all. He's the greatest. In that day, women and children were considered as property, and they were treated as such. Jesus offers a new path to greatness. It's called humility. Jesus elevated the status of children. He elevated the status of women. Luke chapter 18, Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little, see the disciples, this is chapter 18, chapter 9, he's saying, hey, whoever welcomes a little child like this, he's going to be great. And in chapter 18, they still don't get it. Why? Because the disciples are saying, hey, get away from me, kid, you bother us. Jesus doesn't have time for you. And Jesus says, called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. path of greatness is different than what we expect.
Amen.
We want to be shown great esteem. We want to be served. And Jesus says, no, it's not like that. He says, whoever wants to become great among you, he must be your servant.
Amen.
Kingdom greatness. Jesus says, if you want to be great, you're going to have to make some changes. He says it to his disciples. I think he says it to us today. I'm about done. A little warm in here. I hope you're not going to sleep. Got home Friday from the Bible study. We do a Bible study at lunchtime. And I was all messed up, kind of groggy, kind of fuzzy. Had a nice lunch. Had a salad. You weren't here, were you? Yeah. Usually Natty makes us lunch. He wasn't here that day. Had a ham sandwich with one slice of sourdough bread. Not good for my diabetes. The salad was great for my diabetes. And then I had, there was these Italian wedding cakes or something like that. Chocolate with pudding and fudge and all that kind of stuff. And Shanyetta sliced them up into thin little slices. And then I took about a quarter of one of those slices. Not good for my diabetes at all. I got home and my diabetes, my sugar count was up over 300. And you know, I could just take a nap. Just kind of snooze it off. I could take some more medicine. Just kind of wait for it to kick in. Or I could jump on my treadmill. I'd burn that sugar right off. And you know what? I didn't want to jump on that treadmill. That nap was sounding real nice. I jumped on that treadmill. 30 minutes later, I was feeling like $1 million. Anthony, is there a problem with your dad? What's going on? You just passed?
Not yet.
Lord Jesus, we're just pray for Mesa right now, Lord. We pray for the family. Lord, I guess Mama's not waiting much longer. Lord, I pray by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you give Meso life for every minute that he's here, Lord. And Lord, we know that when he departs from this place, you're going to give him abundant life. I pray for all the children, grandchildren, the pain, heartache, separation, Lord, that you empower for victory, Lord. And we can grab onto you and find fullness. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys got to bail. Get out. Whoever wants to be great among you would be your servant. You know what? I got this treadmill, and I maybe do it twice a week. For me to be healthy, I need to maybe do it 5 times a week. My shoulder going to get right? Guess what? I got to work that thing every day. I'm not just going to sit there and have my fullness and my health delivered to me. I have to pursue it. And so with our spiritual health, I don't know what your challenge is today. When I've mentioned challenges probably 5 times. How many of you, as I've talked about your challenge that you are facing in your life right now, have said, I got one. I got a challenge. Nobody? How many of you say, I have identified the challenge, the biggest challenge that I have in my life? Yeah? Could be spiritual, could be physical, could be social. Have you got it? Lord says, I have victory for you in that. For you to find that victory, you're going to have to change. The reason you got the challenge is to move you to change. The reason you got the challenge is to move you to experience kingdom power released in your life. Some of you are experiencing victory after victory after victory. Hear Aaron talking about, man, it's been a tough week. Man, it's been a tough 3 weeks, a roller coaster ride, and I'm just on a high right now. Aaron is a guy that has challenges and moves through challenges from victory to victory to victory. Does that make sense? The Lord today would meet you and say, how long are you going to put up with it? How long are you going to put up with living in defeat? How long are you going to look at this challenge staring you right in the face and just live with it? I have come that you might have victory. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Lisa's going to come up and sing a song for us. Lord Jesus, I come before you this morning, Lord, and do pray for the Bugs family and the extended family, Lord. But Lord, I pray, I believe that your Spirit would do a work among us this morning. Lord, I believe that each one of us has the next greatest challenge that we would face in our lives. And some of us have been looking at it for too long. I hope you're tired of looking at it. I hope you're as tired of looking at it as the Lord is as tired of looking at you looking at it. Some of you have been dealing with the same crud for 20 years. And you could be delivered today. Or you could start deliverance today. It takes work and it takes change. You're here this morning and the Lord is speaking to your heart. And you say, Lord, I'm ready to change. I'm ready to work. I'm ready to experience victory in my life. Nobody's looking around. But the Lord's speaking to you and he's just saying, enough is enough. Enough is enough. Time for you to change. Nobody looking around, but the Lord speaking in your heart. Just raise your hands.